Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, looking forward to chatting with you today on our latest podcast episode. We got Dave over there. Hey Dave, how's it going?
Hello.
So, I guess we'll just jump right into this one. This one, again, we do all sorts of different topics. They range from all things digital marketing, and today's one is unique, and it's interesting, and it came from, the idea actually came from a video that Dave watched, and I'll let him talk to you about that, but we're going to be chatting about management styles today, just management in general, and what motivates people, and what motivates people for figuring out that thing that motivates them and getting them to be, you know, either good workers or just motivation in general for working. And so maybe Dave, talk about the video and let's get started. Let's chat about this.
It would be Mr. Mark Rober. And if you don't recognize the name, I'm right, if you do, recently over the holidays of 2018, he created the glitter bomb for people that would steal your packages off your porch. Well, through the algorithm of YouTube, despite all of the other stuff I watch and all the stuff my small child watches, somehow...
Well, that's what I was going to say. If there's any small children, they know that guy's name. He's a very famous YouTuber.
Well, I'm just surprised that a TEDx talk, which I do watch sometimes, but when you factor in all the music videos I watch and all of the silliness and cartoons that the five-year-old watches, probably because it was on my desktop, but, you know... It somehow this broke through all of that noise. It's called the Super Mario Effect, tricking your brain into learning more. Sorry. And the what it is he did a test, and this is from, when is it? May 2018. But it started because he did 50,000 of his YouTube subscribers participated in a basic coding challenge. And the data all pointed to what he called the Super Mario Effect. And then he gave this talk at the TEDx Penn. And what the test was is he gave 50% of them a normal, it was like a coding test. And each time you failed, you lost no points. And in the end, 68% of the people that did it were able to solve it, but it took them 12 tries. And then the other 50% of the people got a little bit of a different test where each time they didn't succeed, they lost 5 points.
Oh.
And the goal was to try to get, you know, finish with as many points as possible. Well, if you're not losing points and you still finish, then you're quite happy. But only 52% solved it, but they only tried 5 times. So, I mean, that's half as many times of trying. And one of the things that he doesn't talk about his TEDx talk that maybe changed a little bit was that the number of points you had at the end was the number of entries you had into winning some giveaway he was doing. So he kind of left that out, but that was, I think, part of the motivator to get those people to do it. But what he talks about is the Super Mario effect. And you can even think about, you know, number of... a cat doing something silly like, you know, continuously jumping across and never stopping. But the other example is like a small child and the things that they do or that we all did when we were a small child to learn things. You know, trying to crawl, trying to walk, even if you know, 5 points was your face smashing into the carpet or the floor. You know, maybe that would be your 5 points, but we could keep going, you know, and he called it the Super Mario effect because even if you died, you know, because of a turtle or because of a pit, you would just start over and you knew a little bit more and you would just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and how many times? Contra. I mean, we all knew the up, up, down, down, left, right code, and you would have umpteen number of lives.
Yeah.
And then the goal then was to try to finish with as many lives as possible left. But you would die so many times and so many ways constantly in that game. But we would keep pushing through. And so what he talks about is a lot of times when people are learning, if they fail, the failure alone isn't what stops them from trying it again. It's the outside forces around that failure, maybe the stigma of failing, you know, and especially when startups, there's which company is it has it about failing? Is it Amazon? I think it is.
Yeah.
Where it's okay to fail. How many places do you work where if you have a failure, you might get fired? Yeah. Of any, even the smallest type. Like if a campaign goes out and it doesn't hit the ROI, and but you learn something. How many times are people still thinking that they're not getting promoted, or they're going to fail, or they're going to get fired for it?
It's interesting.
So this is somewhat of a management style talk. This is also something about motivation. We'll probably land somewhere in the middle. but I thought it was really interesting thinking about my own learning, the people I've worked with above me and how they interacted with me, and then how in the past I've interacted with people that I was supposed to train.
You know,
especially in the agency life.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. It's interesting for me because I look back at, you know, over the years of when we first started, Dream Systems Media, and eventually became Avalanche Media, and those key players that we brought on, that we got involved with it, and helping us set it up, and just the things that I learned. So, for example, you know, we'd get people in, like brilliant people that could do some amazing things with code or web design or whatever it might be. And you know, when you're a smaller group and more people are, you know, you got a smaller group of people having to do more things because you don't have the luxury of farming stuff out as much as when you're bigger. But one thing that I learned was, you know, at least as far as I did, I expected people to be more entrepreneurial minded or self-motivated, or just where the, you know, that was my management style. I just expected them that they could you know, that their thinking and actions would be like mine. And I learned that I was very wrong, and I had to approach each person differently. Like we had this one guy that seriously was amazing, one of the best coders, and I loved his designs. Like, you know, anything that he would put out, I was always like, yep, I love it. And the thing is, he could not just boss himself. He had to have someone to give him a list of, you know, here's your tasks for the day, here's what we absolutely need done. Because if you kind of just told him, you know, here's the general direction and what we need, and, you know, just good luck, he would fail every time. He had to have a certain number of executables, and that's just how he worked. Like, he could never be an entrepreneur. He could probably never start a business. Like, he has to work for someone, if that makes sense, Dave, I'm not sure. But, you know, that's one thing when we got to that point and we realized that, it kind of opened up my eyes and helped me realize that every person is different. Because then I did get, you know, you do come across those style of people. And, you know, we had this other lady that was part of our group for, you know, almost 5 years. And, you know, in our industry, that's becoming a veteran. And you know, she was more like me. And to no surprise, she ended up leaving and starting her own business. And, you know, she gave us 5 great years. And I'm super proud of her that she was able to go and do that. But, and again, that's where the management style would come from. And knowing that, and how to motivate them and how to get them to work for you. And so, I don't know, those are just some of my thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I there's one company, and I saw them recently, and they're talking about how all they want is entrepreneurs, and they want everyone that works there to be an entrepreneur. Yet I was like, but then aren't they just gonna leave?
Yeah.
Like, if everyone's an entrepreneur, I mean, but then they were a growing company, so clearly they must, the way they set things up, they must allow people to be entrepreneurs there with their own projects and their own product lines. Right. And that goes to the management style and knowing, you know, the types of people that they're getting, who they're hiring, and then how they manage it and how they just control everything, which I think is interesting.
Well, see, and that's one way that I think we're able to keep people longer as well, because, you know, when we notice those kind of things that you were just talking about, you know, we give our people freedom to be able to, you know, they'll come to us and be like, hey, you know, here's a really new cool style of doing something. I think that this could be a product. And there's actually been several times where a lot of the services that we offer have been because of of these kind of this forward thinking from employees and that entrepreneurial mind or whatever you want to call it. And we reward them for that too. You know, we reward them for that kind of stuff. And that's what we were talking about before we started recording this too. You know what, you know, there's some people that I know that are motivated solely by money. There's some people I know that are motivated by praise. There's some people that just want the position. They want to be able to tell someone, "Hey, I'm the vice president of this division," or "I'm the," you know what I mean? And so again, it just goes to figuring out the different things that motivate different people, and then we're going to help them best bring that out. So those are just a couple of my thoughts on that as well.
Well, and one thing I used to do when I was at the agency and I was bringing some junior people along was a lot of times they weren't allowed to, they would be on calls with clients, but they wouldn't be allowed to interact with them, or they weren't expected to. And they were just expected to listen, to, you know, provide me any additional info or anything to help if their question came up, to just sit and learn. But what I would do is I would make them take turns, depending on which account it was and stuff. I would make them do the monthly report. Hmm. And then it was just busy work and, you know, gathering data and stuff. But then I was like, all right, you did the report. Now you get, you did that work. Now you get to present it.
Yeah.
And it would just be, it would be part of the once a month call. And there'd be other calls that they probably wouldn't interact as much on. But I was like, no, you did the report. You know the data better than anyone else. I've looked at it. I have questions. We go over it. But then I would let them get the practice. But then it was almost like they'd want to do the report and they'd look forward to that call rather than just, this is just busy work.
Right.
And I was like, but if we're ever going to bring these junior people along to more senior people, they need practice.
Yeah.
And for them, you know, it was interesting to see as we started doing it, the two guys that I worked with on and off on these two different accounts doing it, how quickly they went from not sure, and, you know, the way they presented to clients was very rocky, we'll say, to really zeroing in on the things that mattered, not got to know the client as well, understood, and then it also helped them for the first time read a client when they're talking to it to them, and then it, I think it just helped them a ton. And it was interesting for me to watch them from 1 week to, you know, from 1 month to another.
Yeah.
When they did it, just how much they were growing.
You know, and I think what we're talking about here too, and this is interesting, Dave, because, you know, a lot of when we do these kind of things, it does help progress them, and in some cases, it help. You know, you're shooting yourself in your own foot, in a sense, because you're helping them want to move on, and so in like a lot of cases, when you're doing this and you're helping them figure that out, and you're helping them along their path, and they do end up leaving you, you know, like it used to frustrate me, and you know, back in the day, and you would spend so much time and energy, and I just kind of realized that, hey, this is just what it is now, and I'm still gonna help and motivate these people. And what's interesting is there's been a lot of people that have moved on, and then they've referred people back to us. And so we've made their time there positive, and we've done the best we can to help further them in their career. And they've sent people to us and like, hey, you know, I thought this would be a really good person, you know, for a fit to work there or whatever. And so there's other ways that you can benefit from that. And so I think we have to stop looking at the negative side of that, because, you know, it's like, you know, we talked a little bit about, or alluded, the fact that, you know, those entrepreneur spirited ones, or those, you know, that don't stick around or whatnot. I think if we look at it in a different way and just do everything we can, and then be happy for them. Like, one of the things that always impresses me about Will Reynolds from Sear is I'm always seeing him talk about, you know, employees that he's trained, the people that didn't know anything about SEO or anything digital marketing, and he trained them, and they eventually grew beyond their position and started their own company. And, you know, he'll go out and visit them and do vacations with them or see them, and, you know, he's always talking about their success and how happy he is for them. And, I thought that was special, and I was like, you know what? That's how we need to start looking at it. I mean, obviously, it stinks to lose a really good employee and, having to train new ones. But if you can look at it for the good side of it, for what it is for them, and all the other stuff that it can do, the referrals, the people that they can refer, and if you made it a positive experience to work for you, they're going to talk really good about you. And anyway, it's just a thought that I had on that.
I've had one boss that his goal always was to help you along so that either he has to fight and find you a new role because you've grown so much, or to accept that you're going to leave. And if you're leaving for if you were a junior SEO and you're now moving to, a senior SEO role, or if you're a director of marketing and now you're going on to be like a VP, or working with bigger budgets and bigger teams. He's like, how if we're here and my team is here, my headcount's here, and you've outgrown this, and I don't have anything else that makes sense to promote you to, clearly you've learned. I fostered your learning. We've done a good job, and you've gotten better and smarter, and better at your job. Good.
Yeah.
You progressed while you were here. You probably did better and bigger things here, but good. And it was always
Absolutely.
it's so rare do you see people that are like that. It's like so often it's like, why are you leaving? And they're like, well, because of XYZ. And then suddenly they try to fix XYZ, even though you've brought up XYZ for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just try to throw money. Like one time I left and they were suddenly like, oh, well, here's an extra 20 grand or something. Or like, what's the offer? And I'm like, don't worry about it. Because I knew that at the end of the project, they were going to try to fire me anyway because they were phasing us older developers out and bringing in people straight out of college. So I was
Yeah.
like, I already see what you're doing. You guys have been letting us go. You've let one person go, and you're eyeing the two others that are us. And we're just, ex you've hired two people straight out of school. And both of us has been around for 5, and the other guy's been here for 8 years. So you're just trying to replace us with cheaper people. That's fine. Whatever. It's a business. But we're leaving.
Yeah.
And I just beat you to the punch. And they were unhappy about it. So, and there was a bunch of other reasons for me to leave as well at that point. But it was just funny that they called me in and tried to sit me down and say, what if we give you all this more money? And I'm like, yeah, because then in 2 months you're going to fire me. My position will be eliminated, and you bought yourself that extra 2 months, and now I don't have another job.
And how I've looked at a lot of that stuff is sometimes at some point I feel like I did all that a position that I could have in a certain position, and I get bored, and sometimes I laugh at myself. And even in the situations with owning businesses, you've gone and you've done something to a certain extent and been really successful at it. And for most people, they'd be like, why would you want to walk away from that? Or why are you not satisfied? There's just a bug that I think a lot of entrepreneurs suffer from. They just, like they get bored of what they've built and what they've done, and they want to move on to the next thing. And what's next?
Well, I think for in-house people, especially as an SEO in-house person, or even a PPC SEO person, an in-house PPC person, if you're a small company and you have a full-time PPC person and your budget over the last couple of years has grown from, say 20 to 40K to 60K, and maybe you're on the cusp of maybe 80K, and same thing with an SEO, you have one site. And you've been doing it for 2 or 3 years now, maybe even 4, there's going to be technical issues or budget restraints on these bigger projects you want. And they've probably been there for a while because when I was in-house multiple times, I saw it, or even when I was an agency, I saw an SEO that we worked with for 2 or 3 years run into the same problems, and we had the same limitations year after year after year. If you're that in-house person, and you see all of these big projects that you want that could really move the needle or that would be really exciting for you, and they're not happening, guess what? You get bored, like you said.
Yeah.
None of these projects are happening. I can't move the needle. You keep moving my goals and my targets start to become impossible because I can't get any of these big moving projects going. It's not fair, and now I'm bored and frustrated. So guess what? I'm gonna leave.
Yep. So I guess, Dave, just kind of wrapping up my final thoughts, I guess the biggest takeaways for people, I would say, go and we're in the blog post, you guys will drop a link to that video, and we definitely want you to watch it. You know, just the Mario effect, I guess, is what we'll call it. Yes. And so go, so check that out. And then the other side of it, again, whether you're the, you know, whatever position you find yourself in, whether you're the employee or you're the manager or management or the entrepreneur, just watch that video. Think about what we've talked about. Figure out what is your style, okay? And if you do, you know, have a conversation. If you need to have a conversation with a manager or a boss, do it. If you're a manager or a boss, think about that employee, maybe one that you've been frustrated with, or, you know, have you done this? Have you thought about this kind of, you know, management style, if you will, or have you thought about management in general and what motivates? Also understanding all the different things, like, you know, one final thought here that had just popped up in my head, Dave, while we were thinking about this is we had one employee that just was like not happy. Turns out we ended up offering them one flex day where they could work from home one day a week, and they became the best employee ever. Like, it was something just that simple. They just wanted one flex day. And so, again, my point is figuring it out. What's that thing that's going to help and motivate them and get them to be happy? Those are my final thoughts. Dave?
Yeah, I think every employee, you know, big role or small role, is going to have a different motivator to keep them going. And I also think create projects and create the ability to fail on a small, at least on a small scale, with the goal of learning something. Like, say, let's do a test, and it might fail, it might not, well, who cares? But at least bring up that it's okay if it fails, I think, so that people are like, oh, you know, we did this small project, we sunk some hours and time into it, and we learned that, you know, changing the color on this button doesn't work, or this type of meta description doesn't work, or yeah, going after that keyword in PPC, it was just a horrible ROI failure, you know. But if people aren't testing things, guess what? Your competitors are going to destroy you because they're out testing things. So even if you're not doing it for the right reasons, which is your employees and your team and your, you know, that, think about the fact that your competitors are probably doing things like that.
Yep.
And they're going to out-test you and outsmart you and get ahead of you because you're too scared to, you know, for $1,000 to be not the ROI you want, or maybe $10,000, you know, depending on your budgets. So I think just be okay to at least some failure. You know, try to keep pushing your team to learn and figure out what makes them learn and what makes them tick.
All right. Very good. We appreciate you guys checking out this latest episode. For Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltel with Avalanche Media, and we will look forward to having you guys back on the next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.